Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to 1 Samuel chapter 20. First Samuel chapter 20, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And David fled from Naoth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, "What have I done? What is mine iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life?" And he said unto him, "God forbid, thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing either great or small, but that he will show it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so." And David sware moreover and said, "Thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes." And he saith, "Let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death." Then said Jonathan unto David, "Whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee." And David said unto Jonathan, "Behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king at meat. But let me go, that I may hide myself in the field unto the third day at even. And if thy father at all miss me, then say, 'David earnestly asked leave of me, that he might run to Bethlehem, his city. For there is a yearly sacrifice there for all the family.' If he say, 'Thus it is well, thy servant shall have peace.' But if he be very wroth, then be sure that evil is determined by him. Therefore thou shalt deal kindly with thy servant, for thou hast brought thy servant into a covenant of the Lord with thee. Notwithstanding, if there be in me iniquity, slay me thyself, for why shouldest thou bring me to thy father?" And Jonathan said, "Far be it from thee, for if I knew certainly that evil were determined by my father to come upon thee, then would not I tell it thee?" Then said David to Jonathan, "Who shall tell me? Or what if thy father answereth thee roughly?" And Jonathan said unto David, "Come, and let us go out into the field." And they went both of them into the field. And Jonathan said unto David, "O Lord God of Israel, when I have sounded my father about tomorrow at any time, or the third day, and behold, if there be good toward David, and I then send not unto thee and show it thee, the Lord do so and much more to Jonathan. But if it please my father to do thee evil, then I will show it thee and send thee away that thou mayest go in peace. And the Lord be with thee as he hath been with my father. And thou shalt not only while yet I live show me the kindness of the Lord that I die not, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever, no, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth." So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, "Let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies." And Jonathan caused David to swear again, because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. Then Jonathan said to David, "Tomorrow is the new moon, and thou shalt be missed, because thy seat will be empty. And when thou hast stayed 3 days, then thou shalt go down quickly and come to the place where thou didst hide thyself when the business was in hand, and shalt remain by the stone Ezel. And I will shoot 3 arrows on the side thereof, as though I shot at a mark. And behold, I will send a lad, saying, 'Go find the arrows.' If I expressly say unto the lad, 'Behold, the arrows are on this side of thee, take them,' then come thou, for there is peace to thee, and no hurt, as the Lord liveth. But if I say thus unto the young man, 'Behold, the arrows are beyond thee, go thy way, for the Lord hath sent thee away. And as touching the matter which thou and I have spoken of, behold, the Lord be between thee and me forever.'" So David hid himself in the field, and when the new moon was come, the king sat down to eat meat. And the king sat upon his seat, as at other times, even upon a seat by the wall. And Jonathan arose, and Abner sat by Saul's side, and David's place was empty. Nevertheless, Saul spake not anything that day, for he thought, "Something hath befallen him." He is not clean, surely he is not clean. And it came to pass on the morrow, which was the second day of the month, that David's place was empty. And Saul said unto Jonathan his son, Wherefore cometh not the son of Jesse to meat, neither yesterday nor today? And Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem. And he said, Let me go, I pray thee, for our family hath a sacrifice in the city, and my brother, he hath commanded me to be there. And now, if I have found favor in thine eyes, let me get away, I pray thee, and see my brethren. Therefore he cometh not to the king's table. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said unto him, Thou son of a perverse, son of the perverse rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion and unto the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die. And Jonathan said, Jonathan answered Saul, his father, and said unto him, Wherefore shall he be slain? What hath he done? And Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David. So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger, and did eat no meat the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David, because his father had done him shame. And it came to pass in the morning that Jonathan went out into the field at the time appointed with David, and a little lad with him. And he said unto his lad, Run, find out now the arrows which I shoot. And as the lad ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. And when the lad was come to the place of the arrow which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried after the lad and said, Is not the arrow beyond thee? And Jonathan cried after the lad, Make speed, haste, stay not. And Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came to his master. But the lad knew not anything, only Jonathan and David knew the matter. And Jonathan gave his artillery unto his lad, and he said unto him, Go, carry them to the city. And as soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of a place toward the south, and fell on his face to the ground, and bowed himself three times. And they kissed one another, and wept one with another, until David exceeded. And Jonathan said to David, Go in peace, for as much as we have sworn, both of us, in the name of the Lord, saying, The Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever. And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, as an overview of 1 Samuel chapter 20, we recognize that the Lord often uses crooked lines and sinful actions to do things that are according to His plan. This is indeed the wonderful thing about the Lord our God, is that He is quite often found making good use out of sinful actions. There are some sins in this passage. I hope you saw them. David draws Jonathan into an agreement where Jonathan is going to lie to his father, King Saul. Lying is never justified. We are not in agreement with David and Jonathan's procedure here. We like the outcome that David was able to go free. However, like the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 3, if we accuse someone of saying, let us do good that evil may come, our damnation is just. Think about that for a moment. How did Paul say it? It has been slanderously reported of us that we say, let us do good that evil may come. The people that say that about us, their damnation is just. That's pretty clear, isn't it? We do not do evil that good may come. David and Jonathan, while it was under extreme circumstances, the life of David, and while we may want to want to excuse the danger that they were under or what they did because of the danger that they were under, remember that there is always a way of escape. The biblical ethic is not that we are shut up to where we must sin. There is always a path of righteousness out. However, sometimes we can't see it. Sometimes because of our own ignorance, because of our own blindness, because of our own difficulty, because of fear, because of many, many factors, perhaps, we have a hard time seeing the righteous way out of a circumstance. David and Jonathan had a hard time seeing a righteous way out of the circumstance. And so, while their goal was good, to save David's life, because David had done nothing worthy of death, and also David was a prophet of God and soon to be king. And so, yes, they should have used all lawful endeavors to preserve his life. They chose to use, sadly, an unlawful endeavor. And that is to form a ruse. Tell your father Saul that my brother has called me to Bethlehem to a yearly sacrifice there, and that's why I can't come. And so not only did David concoct it, Jonathan spoke it, and so they are both drawn in to that difficulty. The prophetic writer here passes over it without accusing them, not because they are innocent, but because we are supposed to understand that. And so we do have then the wickedness of Saul, but notice also how that the wickedness of some folks often draws others into wickedness. Do you see that? This is why we must be a good and not a bad example to one another. Saul's bad behavior, his seeking to kill David, brought Jonathan and David under such a strait that they were tempted and fell to deception and lying. And so, as we have said before, so we say again, one sin often leads to another. All right, so what do we have? We have an interesting scenario here, and some of what David and Jonathan did was okay. We're not required to reveal all of the truth at all times. And so the procedure that they had in the field when the little boy did not know that David was there, nothing wrong with that. That's okay. And the sign that Jonathan and David had between them about the arrows and where they landed and what that would mean for David's disposition at that point. Not a sinful thing at all. Simply a stratagem. A stratagem may not be bad. All right, so it's the new moon. The new moon is a monthly celebration in Israel. And the kings of Israel would set a table and have all of their servants and the special ones that they had invited to their table to come and to sit. When we come to the Lord's Supper today, we partake of a remnant of that, right? It's to help us to remind ourselves that we have been invited to the table of the king. Well, David was invited to Saul's table, and it was a snub to the king not to be there when summoned. And so the first day, Saul notices David's place empty. Of course, Saul had a different design for wanting David there. It was not to show him favor. And the reason we understand that is because Saul, it seems, on the second day, had his spear at ready. So it's pretty obvious what Saul's design was. All right, so David and Jonathan were right about Saul's design. David was right. Jonathan refused to believe something like that about his father. That's not naivete. That is simply protecting his good name. But out of his trust for David and his honor and respect for him, he said, all right, I'll participate in this, but I'm telling you, it's going to come to nothing. Well, it didn't, actually. And so on that second day of the new moon, when the king sat down at his table and he asked Jonathan about David, that's when Jonathan gave up the lie about David. Of course, Saul knew immediately that it was a lie. And I guess here's another good use for us, right? That when we devise some kind of deception like this, many times we're only fooling ourselves. Saul knew what was going on. And so when Jonathan gave up this big story about David having to go to Bethlehem and all of that, what did Saul do? He saw right through it. And he said, "Thou son of a wicked and rebellious woman," right? It's interesting that Saul would blame his wife, but he did. And so what do we have then? We have Saul picking up his spear and chucking it at Jonathan, his own son. Now notice the contradiction, the immediate contradiction here. First, he says, "As long as the son of Jesse lives upon the ground, you will not be established in your kingdom. Now, let me throw a spear at you." Doesn't make sense, does it? And yet, so often, when we are driven by a mad will, our actions will not make sense. And when someone points out to us, "This doesn't make any sense," that may be time for us to stop and to take notice, to examine ourselves. All right, so Jonathan leaves in great anger. Interesting that it was anger and not fear for his life. There are several comments with different commentators on why Jonathan left in anger. I think his anger is really the word has a wider semantic range. It's probably great frustration and even despair that his father would go down that road, but he has. And so they meet in the field then, and they have their stratagem, and David recognizes that it's time for him to leave. He waits for the young man to go back to the city, and then he and Jonathan meet. There's only one other thing that I would like to show you in this passage, and that is the great honor that David pays to Jonathan. Normally we think of the honor that Jonathan pays to David, but I want you to understand the honor that David pays to Jonathan here, in that he says, back around the middle of chapter 20, "Thou hast drawn thy servant into covenant." Now this is an important point, because the covenant that existed between Jonathan and David was at Jonathan's behest, not David's behest. Jonathan's behest, and Jonathan had the authority to do that because he was the king's son, and David recognized himself one of Saul's and Jonathan's subjects. Now that's an important point to remember, because that although David will be king, he is not yet king and recognizes the authority of Saul and Jonathan, even though Saul is a wicked king and Jonathan against the stratagem of his father. Still, there is a proper authority. When kings, presidents, senators, governors are wicked, guess what? They're still kings, presidents, governors, and senators. And although there is some history in Reformed Presbyterianism, an out there covenantism of saying that we owe no obedience to wicked kings, let us remember that that is more a Romish doctrine than it is a biblical doctrine. When our governors, those who are over us in authority, when they're wrong, they're still in authority. When they're wicked, they're still in authority. And at all times, we are commanded to continue to pray for them, to obey all of their lawful commands and counsels. Okay? All right. Thus ends the reading then of 1 Samuel chapter 20. Let's continue praising God.